Here's the latest weekly briefing from Jonathan Abamonte at the Population Research Institute. Tennessee County offers to shorten prison time for inmates who agree to get a vasectomy. Prisoners encouraged to buy their freedom by paying with their fertility and integrity, reads the headline. A judge in White County, Tennessee, has signed a standing order that offers to shorten prison sentences by 30 days for inmates that agree to accept long-term or permanent birth control. In order to qualify, male inmates must agree to be sterilized via vasectomy, and female inmates must agree to accept Nexplanon, a 3-year contraceptive implant. The birth control methods are being offered to inmates free of charge. According to the Daily Beast, a website, news program, 32 women have so far had the implant installed and 38 men are awaiting vasectomy procedures. The order was signed earlier this year by General Sessions Judge Sam Benningfeld, a White County judge who also has jurisdiction over the county's juvenile court. I'm quoting here, "I hope to encourage them to take personal responsibility and give them a chance when they do get out to not be burdened with children," end quote. So goes Judge Benningfeld in an interview with a local CBS News affiliate. "I understand it won't be entirely successful," he goes on, "but if you reach 2 or 3 people, maybe that's 2 or 3 kids not being born under the influence of drugs," end quote. Reduced prison time is a potent bribe, says Population Research Institute President Stephen Mosier, longtime opponent of population control. How many prisoners will try to buy their freedom by allowing the state to chemically or surgically sterilize them? The order should be rescinded, Mosier says. According to a press statement released by the ACLU, Judge Benningfeld's order is unconstitutional. Quoting here, offering a so-called choice between jail time and coerced contraception or sterilization is unconstitutional, says the ACLU. Such a choice violates the fundamental constitutional right to reproductive autonomy and bodily integrity, end quote. Extracting acceptance of family planning through coercive means runs contrary to core American values. Since 1998, the Tehart Amendment has prohibited using international aid to create incentives in exchange for individuals becoming acceptors of a method of family planning or to conditionally deny benefits to individuals who opt not to accept family planning. While the Tehart Amendment does not apply to Judge Benningfeld's order, coerced sterilization is a violation of fundamental freedoms as well as human dignity. The U.S. Code of Federal Regulations also prohibits federal funds from being used to sterilize an institutionalized individual. It is not clear whether White County intends to use federal funds or only state and local funds for financing vasectomy procedures. The incentivization of sterilization for incarcerated inmates is eerily reminiscent of eugenic sterilization statutes that were at one time in force in 32 states during the early to mid-20th century. From 1907 until the late 1970s, state eugenic sterilization laws authorized the coerced or involuntary sterilization of more than 60,000 Americans who were deemed feeble-minded, idiots, mentally diseased, promiscuous, criminals, or those for which, and I quote, procreation would be inadvisable, period, end quote. Now, by and large, the poor, racial minorities, immigrants, the mentally handicapped, the undereducated, and the institutionalized individuals were targeted for eugenic sterilization in an effort to, open quote, weed out undesirables from the gene pool. Well, while eugenic statutes were largely rooted in racism, discrimination, and utilitarianism, reasons for justifying the utilization of forced or coerced sterilization was often framed in terms of advancing the public good and at times, much like Benningfeld, in terms of the well-being of those undergoing sterilization. For example, the since-repealed North Carolina eugenic statute granted the governing body of penal institutions the ability to sterilize certain inmates if it was determined that sterilization was considered best in the interest of the mental, moral, or physical improvement of the patient or inmate, or for the public good, end quote. Now, in practice, North Carolina sterilization law, much like similar laws in other states, gave way to heinous human rights abuses. Eugenics laws counted thousands of victims like Elaine Riddick, who was forcibly sterilized by North Carolina's eugenics board at age 14 after becoming pregnant as the result of rape. In a near echo of Benningfeld, the Human Betterment Foundation, a pro-eugenics research and advocacy organization active during the 1930s, attempted to justify eugenic sterilization laws by arguing, and I quote here, "Many after sterilization have married and are happy and succeeding fairly well. They could never have managed and cared for children, to say nothing of the inheritance and fate of such children." Well, after the atrocities of the Nazi regime became widely known, following the conclusion of the Second World War, public opinion on eugenic sterilization laws in the U.S. began to change. Gradually, sterilization laws in every state were either repealed or abolished. Yet, even in the 21st century, coerced sterilization has not entirely disappeared in the United States. According to the Center for Investigative Reporting from 2006 to 2010, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation sterilized 148 female inmates without proper authorization from the state, reportedly coercing several women in accepting the procedure. That's our latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute. Thanks for listening.